Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, live from KeyBank Center. This is the postgame show on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Far side of the ice comes to meet Mittelstadt on the right side, trying to get to the net. Score! Skinner, overtime winner!
What a great call there from Dan Dunleavy. Skinner, overtime winner. Buffalo getting it done 3-2 as we welcome you back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. Fans starting to file out here after a victorious night for their home Sabres. 1:49 into the overtime. Skinner, his 32nd of the season. And that right there is the game winner and our play of the game tonight. It's brought to you by NoCo, delivering comfort to homes and businesses since 1933. Brian Colziel here up in the press box. We'll be heading down to the locker room shortly. Paul Hamilton is awaiting outside the Sabres room. We'll be getting player reaction here coming up. I'm sure we'll get a chance to hear from the Sabres goaltender, Devin Levi. He'll be a part of our player interviews coming up here. Levi, of course, was the story coming in, and, well, he performed quite well. He faced 34 shots in the game, including 21 in the third period, where he ended up stopping 20 of the 21. So an impressive third period for Devin Levi. He wasn't tested very much early, just faced two shots in the first period. But as the game went on, that obviously he seemed to face some more shots, and the Rangers put on some more pressure. And then in the third period, 21 shots on goal, and he stopped 20 of them, as the Rangers end up with 34 in total. So he ends up with 32 saves in the win. We're going to get some saves highlights here coming up in a moment as well. We'll get a chance to hear those. But Skinner, his 32nd of the season, driving to the net. The shot under the bar ends up getting it done there, 1:49 into the overtime. And Buffalo's slim playoff hopes remain alive here for another night. And we'll update the standings here in just a few moments as Buffalo getting a much-needed 2 points. And they're right back at it tomorrow night. They'll take on the Philadelphia Flyers. So we expect to be hearing from the locker room here shortly, because they're going to get on a plane tonight and head off to Philadelphia for what will be a meeting with the Flyers tomorrow night in game number 75 as we get close here to the end of the season. Buffalo now with 79 points in the standings, 5 back from the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were idle tonight. The Sabres are within 4 of the Florida Panthers, who have 76 points, but still have 2 games in hand and a huge meeting coming up on Tuesday. That's the Sabres' next game after the Philadelphia game here. They've got Philly on Saturday and then Florida coming up on Tuesday. Both of those road games. Buffalo's next home game won't be until Saturday, April 8th against Carolina. Only 2 home games left on the schedule. Carolina on Saturday the 8th, and then they'll have a fan appreciation night against Ottawa the following Thursday. But things obviously winding down here as we are now through 74 games. But a huge night for the meaning of what Devin Levi's hope brings, I know, for this franchise, for what has been a season where the whole discussion all season has been, if they had just gotten consistent goaltending, if they had just gotten, you know, good goaltending here and there, if they had just not letting up this goal here and this play, you know, boy, the conversation could be so different. And we know Devin Levi couldn't have gotten here any earlier than what he is right now. He had his college season, wanted to go back to Northeastern. So, you know, this is pretty much about as early as it could have been anticipated that he would have gotten into the goal. And he performed very, very well tonight. 32 saves, his first career win as a Sabre. He's named the first star as the Rangers kept him busy. 21 shots in that third period. To me, some of the things that I was really impressed with: his ability to recover after kind of showing some aggressiveness coming out, you know, taking off an angle, maybe getting down low. his ability to get back in the proper position, get back to his feet quick, his ability to go side to side was very evident and very quick. It was pretty impressive to see it in person. I mean, you see it on TV, some of the clips that I've seen from his time in college, but to see it in person live for the first time, very, very impressive stuff tonight from Levi. And, you know, that goal that Fox scores to tie it up, I mean, it's sitting in the crease. You know, obviously, he doesn't know where it is. If he knew it was under him, you know, he would have obviously kind of closed the pads or fallen down on it, but couldn't find it. Fox pokes it in. You was hoping maybe that wouldn't have been a difference maker in this game, but Skinner, who I thought was very active in the game tonight too, I thought he was really active going to the net, trying to create opportunities on offense, and he comes through with his 32nd of the season, 149 into the OT to give Buffalo the win. Let's get to our three stars here before we head to the locker room. Paterka, who has a goal, star number three. Skinner, the game-winning goal, star number two. And then, of course, I mentioned Devin Levi, star number one. So we'll make Devin Levi tonight the electric player of the game, brought to you by Town Auto Group. For an electrifying performance, check out Town Auto Group's lineup of EVs. Other stats, the shots end up identical, 34-34. But as we said, a monster third period for the Rangers in terms of pressure. Levi facing 21 shots. He made 20 saves in the third period. Excuse me, 34-34 it ends up, the total shots. Power plays, not much of a factor from either team. Rangers had one chance, 0-for-1. Sabres had two chances, 0-for-2. Buffalo's power play, to me, still just not right where it needs to be. Obviously, no Tage Thompson these last couple of games. He's day-to-day. He might play tomorrow. We'll see. Okay, Jeff Skinner up first. We go live to the locker room with Paul Hamilton.
Well, Jeff, did you have plenty of motivation after they didn't call that penalty? You were furious on that one. Seemed like you had plenty of motivation to go get that overtime winner.
Yeah, I thought in the third, obviously, they had a push there. Obviously, Devin played really well there in the third. But, yeah, we got some chances. Yeah, for me personally, it felt like I had some chances kind of throughout, and I just couldn't get one, and it's nice to get one at the end.
Were you pointing at Devin after you scored the overtime?
Yeah, I kind of blacked out there, but I don't know if you know, they were trying to keep him in a cage, so we were just trying to let the beast go.
Well, how about, go take us through that overtime goal, if you would, how it came about.
I was out there for probably a minute, and OP and Mitzi were passing to each other. I didn't get a touch, and then Mitzi, obviously, nice play in the entry, pass it to me. I try and get in through the seam there. Obviously, they got a little bit of a stick on there. I try and stick with it, and then it was kind of rolling, so I just try and get some good wood on it, and fortunately, it sort of found a hole there.
Why were you guys so good in the first 40, especially defending? You guys really didn't give up much at all and had some opportunities.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. That's Sammy. I think obviously having him back there is big. He's a huge steadying force for us back there. But I thought all 60 were great for us. Obviously, Devin, when we needed him, was there, and his rebound control was good, settled things down, and yeah, I think all around. I think in order to sort of play a game like that against a good team like that, you're gonna have to have everyone contributing. I think that's what we had, and that's why we got that result.
100-point team on the other side of the ice, and he's in his first game in goal in the NHL, and he makes 20 saves in the third period. I mean, what does this say to this team about the way he can, you know, control the game in the crease at his age?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, it's been a bit of a build up here, so it's kudos to him for sort of keeping steady and coming up with a performance like that. But yeah, I thought he was solid. Obviously, in the third there, he had to step up. Obviously, I think that penalty kill was big after they scored a goal. We killed a big one there. He made some stops. And, yeah, just a great effort by him.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Skinner on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Skinner the game winner. As we thank Paul Hamilton for that interview. We'll be heading down to the room shortly. But on Levi's performance, you know, said it's been a big buildup. Kudos to him for keeping steady and coming up. Yeah, I mean, that's you know, I mean, he definitely had to feel that buildup, as we said, you know, coming in and coming up with a performance like that. It was a pretty impressive thing. And, you know, Sabres play back-to-back tomorrow. I know, you know, do you want to play him again tomorrow? I mean, I don't foresee that happening. Would it be fun and enticing to talk about? Sure. I mean, he's a young guy. Hey, you ready to go back right in the net? I'm sure he would say yes. There's a lot of college teams that play back-to-back nights. I'm sure he can handle it, but I wouldn't expect it in any capacity. But, boy, it would be exciting to find out if the Sabres, you know, end up going with him. But tomorrow night, I mean, the goaltender, I'm going to guess it'll be a Lukanen night. Anderson still's kind of going through what they're calling maintenance days. More on the goalies in a minute. Back to the room now. Here's J.J. Paterka live.
J.J., talk about your goal. It was just a nice play by the whole line. Take me through it if you were in the postgame.
Yeah, right, I think it was kind of like a scramble in the entry. And we kind of figured out. And then I think Quinter got it in the slot, took a shot, and then Kazi kind of no-look passed it right on my tape. So
locker room with Paul Hamilton.
You seemed like you wouldn't be denied there. It seemed like you would just kind of got your stick in there and out-muscled him there.
Well, I mean, if you get that kind of pass, you got to take it, I guess.
Well, Jeff, did you have
cage? So.
How dangerous was Jack tonight? He was really creating a shot, getting a lot of chances. He was all around the net most of the night.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he found like those soft spots. I feel like tonight a lot, and I mean, he had like I think 5 or 6 shots on that. That's it's kind of impressive. So yeah, hell of a game.
What were the reactions like on the bench when Devin made some of those saves, you know, including, like, that one timer in the second period?
I mean, we were cheering for him, but I think if you, like, heard the atmosphere there, that was, I would say, even crazier, all of them chanting his name. So, yeah, he made a hell of a play and hell of a game.
You had some chances in the first two periods, but you also locked it down, too, in the first two periods. So what was going well where you were able to play good defense and get offense with it?
I think just playing our pace. We knew that they played yesterday, and, yeah, just moving the puck quick and moving our feet.
Did it get away a little in the third period from you guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we just gave up too much, kind of like settled back and tried to defend the lead. But, yeah, I mean, should have kept going and kept our pace.
Jeff puts that puck in the net in overtime, and normally you guys go to the goal score. But here was the case. Everybody's going to the other end of the ice. What was that like?
That was a hell of a game for him, and I think that's what he deserved 100% today.
Thank you, JJ. Jay Paterka on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul Hamilton. Right there with JJ Paterka. Sabres victorious 3-2. Again, the story, Devin Levi's first career win. 32 saves, including 20 in the third period. Devin Levi right now doing television on MSG. So for all of you listening here on the Sabres Radio Network, we'll obviously be getting that interview with Paul here coming up in just a little bit. But I would agree. I mean, the Rangers playing last night, you knew that they were going to probably have less legs than the Sabres would. The Sabres are a quick team to start with. And let's see, have they changed the shot totals? Yep, so now it's 31 saves for Levi. Want to make that correction. In the NHL, they seem to change. Yep, 33 saves. 33 shots, so now it's 31 saves for Levi.
You'd be denied there. It seemed like
I think, you know, overall,
got your stick.
When you – more on the goalies in a minute. Back to the room now. Here's J.J. Paterka.
J.J.,
when you think about Levi himself, you know, in terms of this anticipation for this game tonight, I mean, it's such a big buildup. Like, what's going through his head? Well, he's so mentally strong. He's a guy that I think when you compare what Ryan Miller used to do, his mental preparation, his mental focus, you know, we've seen him meditate during the TV timeouts here in the arena where he kind of sits in between the crease, like little things like that. You know, you got a serious goaltender on your hands that takes the job as seriously and very professionally. And just listening to him, how he's so analytical about how he breaks down his game, how he studies the game, how he's able to prepare for these games. I think the Sabres got a real gem on their hands. Now, of course, it's easy to say he played great in game one. Very easily, you know, we know goalies at a young age, very, very inconsistent. But, I mean, you've got a goalie that's got maybe the most impressive resume in college, you know, U.S. college hockey history almost here. And the awards will keep coming for him here as they get toward the end of the postseason. I'm sure he'll get some more. And I think overall, you know, for what this team is lacking, it's hope and goal. What would he have to do to be the number one goalie next year? I mean, to me, I think you got to keep all options open. I know the path of goalies is always, well, you know, you start off in the AHL and you play games. But look it, you may have a gem here right away. And there may be an opportunity to just say, look, he's ready to play in the NHL. I mean, he's 21. He's not 18. he's not coming right from juniors or right from essentially, you know, high school age level here. He's coming from playing multiple seasons in heavy pressure moments in the top level of college hockey. So he could be ready at age 21 to maybe be an NHL goalie full time. And that doesn't mean to say that if he starts in Rochester next year, that means that there's a setback or that there's anything wrong. But, man, it would be enticing. How many games is he going to get here? You know, I guess doing the math, what? I mean, tonight's game 74. You got 8 games left. So does he get 4 more? I'd like to see him get half, 4 of the remaining 8. I don't see any reason why he couldn't. I mean, there's, you know, obviously the only thing that could be staring the Sabres in the face is if somehow they finished, you know, maybe they finished 7-1 in their last 8 and somehow grabbed the last playoff spot. Well, then that's a good problem to deal with then. But, you know, the only thing that's essentially waiting for Levi is the offseason and rest. So, you know, I'd give him as many starts as you physically could possibly give him. I know there's going to be fans that say, why not play him tomorrow night? I think with what was an emotional night for him, what building up to it, playing so steady, the heavy load in the third period, plus the OT, I mean, there's going to be some just physical and mental exhaustion from this night, and understandably so. You know, playing him tomorrow, probably not an option, even though it's it would be very enticing considering what you saw from him there. Sabres victorious 3-2. Brian Colziel here on the postgame. We're still, again, waiting to hear from Sabres goaltender Devin Levi. Paul Hamilton down in the room. We'll have that interview coming up here in just one moment. Let's talk injury report here while we wait, and it's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Buffalo did this without their best offensive player tonight. No Tage Thompson in the lineup. He is still day-to-day. All right, down to the room, and here's Devin Levi with Paul.
Well, Devin, was that everything you thought it would be out there? Describe the whole experience for you.
Everything and more. You know, warm-ups was unreal, doing that rookie laugh, just looking around, taking it in for a sec. You know, it was a dream come true. You know, I've dreamt of that moment my whole life, and to have my family and friends here as well who have been dreaming for this moment also their whole lives with me, it's just incredible to have that support. And, you know, after warm-ups, getting out there for puck drop, you know, first period, didn't face too many shots. The boys shut it down, let me get into it. And then the shots came slowly, and, you know, the guys played a hell of a job in front of me, let me see the puck, and just let me do my thing. So, you know, the game went by fast. I was having fun, and I guess when you're having fun, things go fast. So it honestly just went by in a blur, and it was just, like, amazing. It was amazing.
What's your reaction to the crowd chanting your name?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The fans are unreal. You know, it's so nice having that support coming in as a new guy. You know, it's just makes it so much easier to have the warm welcome from everyone. All the fans just, like, cheering your name. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I can't take credit for the win. It's the guys played a hell of a game also in front of me. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it just goes to show, like, how great the group is in the room, you know. There are a bunch of great guys there, super warm welcoming as well. Coming into this dressing room is easy, you know, easy process. They're all great guys, and, you know, Kevin Adams, and the rest of the staff, that was their vision to get a group of not only unbelievable hockey players but unbelievable people. So, you know, just having their support also it means the world to me. And, you know, being on a team that is that close is where you want to be. So I'm just super grateful to be here. Yeah, you know, it was great. I gotta give credit to the boys. They made the start a little bit easy for me. You know, it's something to go in your first NHL game and try to get your feet under you. You know, it was a challenge, and they made it easy for me. So, you know, once I faced a few shots, I was feeling good and I was ready to go, and I just wanted the puck. I was hungry. So, yeah, they made it easy on me tonight.
Your jersey sold out of the team store by the end of the second period. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Devin, having a new defense and new teammates, was communication difficult with them or no?
Not really. I think we got along really well off the ice, you know, past week and a half. So they're good hockey players. You know, I make a bad play, they make it look like a good one. So, you know, the D are unbelievable, so skilled, so smart. So as long as I just get the puck to them, then they take care of the rest. So, you know, it's just English speaking hockey. You know, we've all been there, and I think it was the guys are really good at communicating and, you know, telling me what to do behind the net when I go get the puck. So, yeah, it was pretty easy.
Devin, what do you learn from this first game?
Yeah, you know, I learned that the NHL is hockey. You know, it's just the game of hockey. It's the game that I've been playing my whole life. You know, there's a lot of good players out there, but, you know, it's been my dream to be challenged by the best, and finally here, and I have an opportunity right now. And, you know, I learned a lot from this game. You know, I thought I played well. I definitely know what I could improve on. I feel like I have more, and I feel like I've been growing every day. And, you know, I think this is a start to me kind of, you know, improving every single day and, you know, helping the guys hopefully go on a playoff run. That's kind of the goal. And, you know, I'm just going to be working as hard as I can to be ready for the call. And if I get the call, I'm going to do everything I can to give these guys the best chance of winning.
What's the head count, final head count with family and friends at the game?
Probably like 20-something. It's unbelievable the amount of people that came. You know, my parents, my brother James, my girlfriend Julia, a bunch of my friends from home, from Montreal, just growing up, elementary school, high school, you know, they've been through it with me the whole time. And my school friends also from Northeastern, my teammates, they came down also. I think they drove like 6 hours today, and they're driving 6 hours back now to be back for morning workout tomorrow. So, you know, it means the world to me to have that much support here.
Did the Rangers chirp you at all to try to take you off your game?
I think someone came up to me when I was meditating during Trochek. The second period. Yeah, I didn't know what he was saying. I wasn't really listening, but yeah.
Did you have a favorite save of the night, especially when Fox is coming down? You're wiggling the glove in anticipation. Was there any moment that kind of made you realize the gravity of what you're doing?
I think the third period was my favorite part of the night. You know, they get a goal and then a power play, and, you know, it's a 2-2 game, and what are you going to do to give your team a chance to win, you know? That's when the pressure's on, the end of the game, and those are the moments I love. You know, I was just having fun out there. I wanted some one-timers on that power play. I wanted them to find the seam, so... And test me. You know, I feel ready, so I just want to be tested tonight. And I'm excited moving forward.
What are you saying to yourself when you see Artemi Panarin stepping up on a loose puck right in the middle
of the... Oh, I love it. There's nothing else I'd rather. You know, that's why I'm there. I'm there to stop the puck. You know, if I didn't want that to happen, I think there'd be something wrong. So it's my job. So I just love what I do. And it's, you know, no other guy that I'd want in the slot with me 1-on-1. So
where's the game puck go?
I gotta find it.
It's right behind you.
I think I'm gonna give it to my parents. Give it to them. You know, they've brought this moment into existence for me. You know, just helping me from I think I started playing hockey when I was 4 or 5. You know, my dad got me into the game. I remember I didn't want to play at first. I was crying, and then he pushed me to, you know, never quit. And, you know, I developed a passion for the game because of him and because of my mom bringing me to the rink every day. So, you know, let's go to them.
Thanks, Devin. Devin Levi on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Maturity there, excitement. You can hear the passion in his voice. Good stuff. Reminds me of Ryan Miller. It's one game, and his interview is one interview, but, man, I remember Ryan Miller was must-listen-to radio after games when he played, back when those games were so meaningful, back in the, you know, mid-2000s when he was playing lights out. And the perspective you get from Levi, you can see why I think Sabres and Kevin Adams and Don Granato and the players are super pumped about what they have in him. 3-2 OT win. Jeff Skinner gets it done, his 32nd of the season. And Buffalo closing within 5 of a playoff spot with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Philadelphia tomorrow, 7 o'clock. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you listening on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll hear from Don Granato, his thoughts on Devin Levi, his thoughts on the win. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take, update you on the full standings, get you the scores as we say goodnight to our affiliates at this time. Final score from downtown Buffalo in front of 18,009 at KeyBank Center. It was Buffalo 3 and the Rangers 2. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Out of the wing. Lafreniere drops it back. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Levi. What a save, pushing over.
Dan Dunleavy there, one of the 31 saves for Devin Levi, but that one where he went cross the crease, really good movement. That's the save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. New inventory is arriving daily. As we welcome you back here to the postgame, Brian Colziel with you along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Stand by, we'll have Don Granato coming up here any moment. As soon as he steps to the podium, we'll take you there live for his thoughts. I'm sure, again, many of the questions will be on Devin Levi's performance, but it's a big win for the Sabres in the standings. I mean, let's you know, for those of you that are still on board with the, hey, you know, are they alive in the playoff race? They're alive, but it's very slim. Here's the updated standings as of this moment. Pittsburgh, who was idle tonight, 75 games played, 84 points. Then you've got Florida, 76 games played, 83 points. One back with one more game played. And then there's Buffalo, 74 games played. Two less games played than Florida, one less game played than Pittsburgh with 79. The Sabres still are in control of passing Florida because they have two games in hand, so that could be the 4 points right there. Plus, they play them on Tuesday. So it's in Buffalo's control to pass Florida. You lose that head-to-head one, it's probably over in terms of passing them. You got to have that game on Tuesday in Florida. Now, Pittsburgh, you've got a game in hand with. If you win that, that puts you at 81. You're still three back. So you are going to need some help from the Penguins in terms of them, you know, losing down the stretch. But you've got to gain. If you take the game in hand and give yourself a win for that, you've got three more points to gain over the course of the last 6 to 7 games, depending upon how many, you know, games are left here. Guess who Pittsburgh plays next? Boston. Now, the Bruins just clinched the President's Cup, you know, or the President's Trophy, rather. So are they going to go all out? Are they going to not play Allmark? Are they, you know, like, who knows? The Bruins have just been amazing all year. For what it's worth, the Penguins' schedule is one that you could argue, hey, maybe, I don't know. You got Boston, then you got Philly, just like the Sabres do, then New Jersey. They're in a race. They're definitely going all out. Minnesota, they're in a race. Then at Detroit, Detroit has given Pittsburgh trouble. They just did the other day, beating them 7-4. Pittsburgh finishes with Chicago and Columbus. The Sabres finish with Ottawa and Columbus. You know, who knows? Are those two teams that are going to try to tank that final week, Chicago and Columbus? You want to hope that maybe it doesn't go down to that final week. Maybe you've caught Pittsburgh by then if that ends up happening, because the Blackhawks and the Blue Jackets could have a lot of incentive, as you may well know what we're talking about here with Connor Bedard in the draft, to not be giving their fullest effort against Pittsburgh in those games, with Pittsburgh finishing with Chicago and Columbus. But anyway. All right, Don Granato is live. Let's take you there to hear from the Sabres head coach.
Work hard to support him being his first night. I thought they did a nice job with that, allowing him to get into the game and get into the feel of things, and he was very good. What a save with a minute and a half left to keep it tied. And then Skinner scored a highlight goal to win it. But Devin was great all the way through. Looked confident, movements and vision and everything else was good.
Devin said he actually wants those moments, like the one with Panarin with a minute 30 left. Is there anything you see in him that tells you that he wants those kind of situations?
Yeah, the only part of that moment I liked was the save. I don't want those moments. But, yeah, it's a guy that like all guys, you're competitive. If you're a goalie and you're competitive, you want to make big saves. So that doesn't surprise me at all that he would say that.
Don, what was your thought just about your club? You get the win. Obviously, they're not going to the goal score tonight. The whole team's going toward the goalie. It's like, obviously, everybody knew what this meant in the bigger picture, not just this game.
That's nice. That's a nice touch. The win was... you know, most important. We need to win, and I posed that to the guys before the game. Obviously, that you know, this is playoff time for us. We need to scrap and battle and find a way to win, and that's, we had to find a way to win tonight at the end of it, with a good save to finish and a great play to finish. You know, the third was, I thought we stayed on it. We battled. It was not without some challenge. We had some chances that we had to kill a penalty. We had some chances that looked like we could have had a power play out of it, but we had to stay on it. And again, the credit to our guys to dial in and finish it.
Jeff certainly stayed motivated because he was furious when they didn't call a penalty on that one play, and then he comes back and scores the game winner. It seemed like he was very motivated.
Yeah, I think that motivated me the more we just spoke of that in the coach's room, that, you know, he felt there should have been a call on that, and I can see why he felt that. And that just, he just would not be without making amends for that. And I was happy that it was on his stick in overtime.
For Devin, he's gotten two shots. He's faced two shots in the first period. What are you thinking for a guy in that spot in his first game to not see that much action?
You know, again, I just felt he I felt the most important thing was to give him a chance to get into the game without seeing, you know, try to limit high quality as best you can early on, so he can just get past the early on and start getting into all the familiarity of this is just another hockey game. And, you know, you have the nerves, the excitement, the nerves, everything at the start. So I really felt, you know, that if our team could get him through a bit, he would just settle right in. And obviously he did just that, and a credit to our guys as a group. I thought the first period, the first opportunity against was off the linesman when we entered the zone, and they come back for a chance. And we were entering the zone off the linesman back the other way, which happens. And then we had two giveaways, and that was it. Otherwise, we defended extremely well. And a giveaway or turnover, it's tough to defend. You don't have enough time. But we kept it very minimal, and he was good.
On JJ's goal, it's a beautiful goal, but did you feel like if he's not hard on his stick, because he's got a guy on him and on his stick, if he's not hard on his stick, he's not going to score that goal?
We've talked about that with Jack Quinn and JJ being strong on pucks and battling on pucks. And JJ battled Trocheck and maybe Harper or Mikkelinen, one of their big defensemen. I think they all went down. JJ only went down to one knee and stayed on the puck to keep it alive prior, just moments before he scored the goal. So yes, that was extremely noticeable to me because, you know, we're one growth area for young guys is to be strong on pucks. And we've been pushing our guys on that initiative. And you see Jack Quinn, he gets bounced quite a bit because he's given up 20 pounds and a lot of strength, but he stays with the puck, even though he might have to play it on one knee while he's on one knee or before he regains his center of gravity. And that's what Peterka did on his goal.
When Devin makes a save like he did on Kekko with, you know, whatever 90 seconds left in the second period,
what did that do to the bench? That was kind of his first real big save. What does that do to the guys? They're excited, Danny, for, you know, as I mentioned, they were excited for Rusyk the other day when he scored his first goal, you know, when he had an assist. And it's players really, really identify with their, how they felt their first game in the National Hockey League, what it felt like to put a jersey on and go in the National Hockey League. So they get a chance to relive it through every guy that comes in. And you can see that, you know, you can see that on the bench. You can see that before the game and certainly after the game, how excited this group was with Devin.
Jordan Greenway's goal, powering up the right side, is that what you envisioned him kind of player being?
Yeah, I felt he was a little behind tonight, just not playing a bit and the game pace. But, you know, he did it against a defenseman that was 6'6". So, you know, he's 6'5 himself and strong enough to hold that defenseman off and then skilled enough to maintain possession with one hand until he could get to the net, and then anything can happen from there. So yes, there was a lot of great attributes that add to our group seen in that situation. A 6'6" defenseman couldn't push him away from the net, and he had 60 or 80 feet ice to try to do it. So that was a big goal, and how it happened, I felt, was real big for us. Good, and I can tell you, you know, having coached him, he's nowhere near where he can be or where he is coming off an injury that he has. It's tough, and I think he'll probably be even better tomorrow.
Any chance Tage could play tomorrow or no?
There is. I would say slight because it's back-to-back, but... this could, what he has can resolve to the point where, you know, he's pain free at any moment. So we'll see. We'll hope that that's the case.
All right. That is Sabres head coach Don Granato. His live post game comments brought to you by Salino Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Tempstar Emergency Services. Specialists bringing heat on and off the ice. As we bring it back upstairs here to the press box, Brian Colzio with you. 3-2 Buffalo victorious. Devin Levi, his first career win. 31 saves. You heard there right at the end a little update on Tage Thompson. Was listed still day-to-day, but you heard Don Granato's explanation. He's called it a slight chance that he'll play tomorrow. Buffalo then, after this game, plays Tuesday against Florida in what, you know, is the season. If you're going to go get Pittsburgh, you got to pass Florida, and if you're going to pass Florida, you have to beat them in that head-to-head game there on Tuesday. So, I mean, maybe that's the next time we'll see Levi. I think that's the spot to put him back in. not going to put him in tomorrow. Many reasons why. We don't have to go down that road. Maybe tomorrow is a Lukanen game or a Comrie game. I don't think it'll be Anderson. He's still officially, taking these maintenance day injury days. So tomorrow it's going to be Lukanen or Comrie, I would guess. And then I think you come back with Levi on Tuesday in Florida with the season on the line. Why not? Play the kid again. He seems to thrive on these pressure spots. So that's kind of where I would put him in next. But you heard Thompson there. He said slight chance to play, but that didn't rule it out. So we'll see. That's the injury report. Brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Good news on the injury front with Matias Samuelson. He returned tonight, played 22 minutes and 13 seconds, credited with three hits and two block shots. The Sabres record, we know, is just incredible versus terrible when Samuelson's in versus out. I mean, Buffalo's 29 with this win tonight, 29-16-4 with Samuelson in the lineup. 7-15-3 without him. So, again, it's one player. One player doesn't make a season, but, boy, that is an alarming stat when Samuelson plays versus when he doesn't play. And having him back for the Sabres defense, obviously, is a good thing. Paul Hamilton coming up in a moment from the media room. As soon as Paul is ready, we'll get to him. Let's get our first response from the fans, from ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi is first and faster to any size disaster. Visit teamluzzi.com. You can send me your thoughts after each and every game at BrianWGR. Let's take some tweets here. Davil says, future looks good. Of course, responding to some of Devin Levi's comments. Irma says, if you don't love this kid, you don't love kids. Fair. Chris says, Levi returning to Boston against the Bruins in the first round of the playoffs would be insane. I would agree. Of course, went to college there, Northeastern, which is in the Boston area. Timmy with a great GIF here. I'm sure you all have. If you're on Twitter and you see these quite a bit, it's the meme of Terrell Owens saying, that's my quarterback, where he's got the tears coming down. And then Timmy has the little asterisk and writes goalie in its spot. That's my goalie. Okay. I was super, super impressed to hear what he said about his favorite part of the night. You'd think, was it when you got the rookie lap? Was it the moment that you won? Was it the moment the anthem's playing and you realize this is happening? Was it the moment you made your first save? No. It was the most pressure-packed moment. The third period, they had just scored on a goal that maybe he probably didn't love letting in either. And then they get a power play, and he's like, I want some one-timers here. I want to be tested. I want to be a big reason to help push this team through. That's a guy that says, I'm ready for the big time right now already. So impressive stuff, and excited to hear that. All right, Paul Hamilton down in the room. Paul, we've heard from Levi a couple of times, obviously, since he signed his contract last week. But I was really impressed to hearing that, and taken back even a little too. All the fun moments of this day, his family, his friends, his first night, his rookie lap, first win, and he says the best part of the night was when the Rangers were pouring it on.
The guy's a quote machine, isn't he?
Yeah.
Writers and broadcasters are going to really enjoy him with the things he says. So, yeah, he's a lot of fun, but he's also a lot of intensity. And he brings intensity to the game, and he brings an edge to the game of, hey, I want best against best. Yeah, Panarin was in front of the net. That's great. I want that. I want him to be the guy in the slot and be able to come make the save and, help my team try to win a hockey game. That's what I want when it comes to that. So, it's just the right mentality to have as a goaltender, and it's something that, Kevin Adams has talked about, but, you really can't know it until you see it in action. You got to see it as he goes up. He's played for Team Canada and excelled. I mean, they've been great, set records. He's played in college for 2 years, set records. So now it's the next level. Where's that going to be? Is it an NHL level, or does he have to start in the AHL next year? What is that all going to be like, type of thing? So it's just a different level, and he just seems to be able to answer the call whenever he's asked to. But he's also a guy that makes sure he's ready. He didn't rush into coming to professional hockey after being the best goaltender in college hockey. He thought he needed the challenge of doing it again. He thought in his development and his growth, he needed to do it again. He needed that challenge when everybody's coming after him. They know he's the best, so they're coming after him. And he wanted that challenge before he went to professional hockey. And he's done that in his career before he moved up to, you know, other – and that's maybe why he was only taken in the seventh round by the Florida Panthers, because he wasn't playing in the top junior league because he felt his development should be right where it was. And it's just the deliberate way he's handled himself throughout his life.
Paul, seeing his games on television and seeing highlights, you know, there's anticipation of what he's going to look like in person. I will say I was most impressed with his ability to recover and be in the right position so quickly. He would be down to make a save, and then before, you know, you'd blink, he's up and back in the perfect ready position to try to stop the next puck. Or that side-to-side save that, of course, was a jaw-dropper there on Kako there. But he's it's like that perfect aggressiveness without then being out of position for the next sequence. I was very impressed with that part of his game.
Yeah, he's like a technician. And it's the way he goes about things, the supreme concentration that you see when he's meditating in front of the net during TV timeouts. He's picturing the game. He's picturing what's coming. You know, it's all going through his mind, so he's ready. And, you know, he doesn't want it. He wants to go through every scenario in his mind of what could be coming. And it's just the way he prepares himself. And there's no wasted motion. I mean, just the way he plays, you know, he's on his angles. He doesn't panic, you know, and pull himself out of position and get himself spinning. And even the goals he scored where the second one, it seemed like he was lost in his feet and that type of thing. He still didn't go crazy, start spinning and kick it in his own net or anything like that. You know, he stays calm, cool, collected, and just hopes that he can find the puck because he had lost it.
Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Brian Colsey here in the press box. Sabres win it 3-2. Paul, how about the game winner? Skinner went really hard. He was going hard, I thought, for most of the evening, but that last play, he looked like a man on a mission there that didn't want to be stopped on that game winner.
He was absolutely furious after he got pulled down in the third period and there was no penalty called. And I don't blame him. I mean, he should have been furious. That was not one of the most well-refereed games I've ever seen in my life. And from both sides. So he was motivated. Over at the bench, I watched him. He slammed the door. He was screaming at the ref, as was Don Granato. And the bench, they just couldn't believe that there was no penalty called, and he was motivated, and he took that motivation into the overtime and won a goal. I mean, that easily could have been turned over as he walked through the Rangers, but it wasn't. You know, he kicks the puck. I think he kicked the puck up to his stick, and you know, winds up ripping one by Halak for the game winner. And not thinking of himself after he scores, the first thing he thinks about is Devin Levi. And it just points at him and just runs right down at him afterwards. And that's the way they are. They're happier for teammates when they score than they are for themselves.
Okay, Paul, tomorrow right back at it at Philadelphia, a team that they've struggled with. Obviously, I'm assuming there won't be Levi and Cole tomorrow. What are you looking at as maybe some early keys to tomorrow?
Well, simply, I mean, they've lost two games to the Flyers. And, folks, if you think this is going to be an easy game because the Flyers are where they are in the standings, think again, because this is a team that's played much, much better lately. They've beaten some good teams, and if I don't know what exactly at my fingertips, I'll know by the time I get to an article and stuff. But, you know, they've been playing winning hockey lately. They were way behind last night, what was it, by 4-1 or something like that, and wound up in overtime or a shootout or something. So, they're a team that doesn't give up. They're a team that's coming on. Tortorella has them playing well. So if you just look at the standings and think, well, this should be an easy one for a team that's picked up 7 out of their last 8 points, think again, because Buffalo has lost twice to this team, and they're playing well right now.
Paul, thank you for your work tonight. Great job. It was a fun night to be in the building, and we'll chat tomorrow on the pregame for the Sabres and the Flyers.
Okay, talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. Sabres victorious 3-2. Let's get you some final stats here brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Rasmus Dahlin leading all players in ice time, 27 minutes and 1 second on 33 shifts. Let's see. In terms of the shot totals, there are 3 Sabres that had 5. Oposo, Quinn, and Paterka all had 5. Skinner, who had 4, who of course had the game-winning goal. Mittelstadt, the only player with multiple points on both teams. He had two assists in the game. Other players, we mentioned Samuelson's return, 22-13 of ice time, two block shots and two hits. But most importantly, of course, individual stats, we're going to go to Devin Levi. 31 saves. He faced 20 shots in the third period, stopped both of the Ranger attempts in the overtime, and he gets his first career win. So one more time on the standings now. With the win, the Sabres have now gotten themselves to within five of the Pittsburgh Penguins with 79 points, Pittsburgh with 84. The only team in between that Buffalo still has to get ahead of before they get to Pittsburgh is Florida. Sabres have two games in hand, 4 points back. So Florida, again, is a team that the Sabres actually can control their passing because of the two games in hand and the head-to-head meeting with them Tuesday. So if the Sabres take care of their business, they can pass Florida. They cannot pass Pittsburgh unless they do get some help here along the way. Pittsburgh tomorrow plays the Bruins. That's a 3 o'clock game on ABC. So that'll give you something to watch before that Sabre game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Florida's also in action, and they play at Columbus. The Blue Jackets will have a hand maybe in this wild card race because they play Florida tomorrow. They got Pittsburgh in the final week. Buffalo plays them the final game of the season. So, you know, Columbus, of course, is on the other side of things. Maybe they're thinking about Connor Bedard. I know maybe you're thinking they're not going to give it their all, but as of this moment right now, they are tied with Chicago for dead last in terms of points. So we'll see if Columbus can maybe give a little run. But after Philadelphia tomorrow, as we get into April, then the Sabres play. Tomorrow starts a three-game road trip. At Philly tomorrow, then at Florida Tuesday. Which, to me, the season's on the line there. You have to beat the Panthers. Because to go run down Pittsburgh, if you let Florida beat you there, it's going to be near impossible then to go past them. And then at Detroit before they come back home here. Only two games at home left. Carolina next Saturday afternoon, and then Ottawa on April 13th. So Buffalo just has games left in April the rest of the way. Eight games left on the schedule. And that next one tomorrow night, 6 o'clock pregame, I'll have it for you. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll, of course, have Dan and Rob on the play-by-play tomorrow night live from Philadelphia. And with that, we're going to say goodnight here from KeyBank Center. On a fun night, Devin Levi getting his first win. We want to thank our crew here tonight, our network producer back in our Amherst studio, Frank Arcuri. Frank, thank you very much for your work tonight. The crew here at KeyBank Center, producer Jonathan Koziel, engineer Tom Matty, and Paul Hamilton, of course, our reporter. Shope and the Bulldog were on the pregame, and Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, of course, were your game announcers. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. Final score once again in overtime. It was Buffalo 3 and the New York Rangers 2. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Sabres and Flyers. Pregame gets going at 6. Right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.